Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. I am he, and he is I, Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbilly. He's the All-American national champion, former Atlanta Falcon, former high school offensive line coach as well. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And she is the queen of tofu, the first lady of Atlanta baseball, the leader of Allie's Army, and our resident, what would you say, marathon runner, Miss Allie Mack.
That's me.
And Dylon is the most vanilla man in radio and has the worst wave of any human being known to man. But we love him anyways because he's a Drake fan. Dylon Matthews. And this is the morning shift.
Attaboy. Now we're talking. It's not the worst wave. It just doesn't fit him.
No, it's bad.
It's
bad.
Just,
it's awkward. It's stiff.
It's just a bad pairing. That's all.
It might. It's actually really bad form. I think that's the thing that bothers me. Is he thinks he's got good form with his wave, but it's terrible.
We'll have to post a video of that at some point.
Your hand's moving too much, and your wrist is actually too stiff.
You got to loosen up the wrist a little bit. You also, and me, we both need to apologize to Mike Johnson today because I was putting that replay together last night. And I text Dylan. I said, we botched this so bad.
I told Mike in his ear as the intro was playing that I was like, what happened was, what I noticed when Allie sent me the audio of how bad we botched, you know, who buzzed in first. You said your name so quick, and your name ends with a E, so like it's like Mike, and it ends so quickly. It's still like staccato, I guess, for lack of a better term. And Bo kind of like goes like Bo, he elongates it, and so my ears were playing tricks on me, thinking Bo got in there first. This is a terrible excuse, but it's honestly the truth.
This excuse is maybe worse than your top five list and your wave. I mean, just say. Hey, we blanked it.
Yeah, that's all we got to say, man.
I'm sorry, Mike. I blanked it.
It's all good.
It's okay to admit you made a mistake.
It wouldn't have helped me in the end. That's the saving grace. If I'd have lost because of that, I'd have been irate.
It actually saved you.
It actually got you a point.
Lost me a point, got you a point. And then I answered, my name is Shrek, which didn't help me either.
Shrek!
Don't get
such an intense situation, you forget your name in that moment.
Yeah, Yeah, that was my boat ramping with a trailer backing up, which somebody sent us a video of like what looked like an 8-year-old on steroids, and that kid backed the boat up like nobody's. But now in his defense, there was nobody there, and it was only one ramp, but he still did it like a boss.
Like a boss, I was impressed by that kid. I saw that video too on the Twitters, and that kid just it's like a booster seat. Right, he just climbs in the seat and he just backs that thing on in. I was like, that guy has been training on a power wheel.
Dang.
You know what I mean?
All right.
That thing was legit.
Good for him. Well, we have a very stacked show today. 6:40, we've got a rookie report. this is hard to believe, but somebody in this room forgot we were on the radio this week. And I have audio evidence of that I'm going to be playing at 6:40 today in the rookie report. Hint, it's someone in this room.
Wow. Probably me then. And I'm just curious of what I did or didn't say and how I still have a job.
7:40, we've got Fair or Foul Friday. And 8:20, Grant McCauley will join us to talk about these Braves. But right now, we're going to dive into Jesse Bates making the top 10 list. It's the top 10 safeties, according to NFL execs and scouts. Jesse came in at number 4. Are you guys good with that spot?
No, not really. I don't think he's just the 4th best safety in football. I think Jesse Bates is top 2 easily. I know it's, look, all of these, you know, and Jeremy Fowler, who did it, is pretty good. He's got Kyle Hamilton at 1 and Brian Branch 2 and Xavier McKinney ahead of them. I don't believe that Xavier McKinney is above, and I think he took a poll, by the way.
Ding.
Where's the German lady at, Dylan? I think he's probably. I'm a little bit. I don't know what to think of Kyle Hamilton because I think Kyle Hamilton is really good, but I also think he has moments where he is he gets a little too much credit. I think he has moments where he has cost him with some boneheaded plays and kind of just, you know, he also has a better defense in front of him too.
Yeah, it is funny when you have the number one ranking of a player in the NFL and the first sentence says he gets the benefit of the doubt despite a production dip. It's like, what do you mean? Like, what are we talking about, the benefit of the doubt despite a production dip? And obviously Kyle Hamilton, I think he missed one game last year. I remember him like being a comeback story at some point in last year's season, and it was like right around the playoff push and everything like that. He's a good player, and there's no doubt about that. Brian Branch is obviously a guy that you know, has been somebody that has ascended very, very quickly through the safety rankings.
I don't even feel like Brian Branch sometimes plays safety.
No, and that's what my next statement was going to be is, like, I'm not sure where exactly he fits in that defense, though. He's kind of that, like, super nickel kind of box player at times that kind of, you know, they can kind of be in a three safety look from the times I've seen Brian Branch.
Who was the – remind – and I can't believe I've forgotten his name, but who was the Texas cornerback that that we talked about? I talked about maybe wanting him here. And that he kind of plays all over. That's what Brian Branch reminds me of.
Oh, the college player. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that came out in the draft this year, and I apologize because his name is just boom. But, like, I feel like they use him the way the Lions use Brian Branch.
Yes.
You know what bothers me the most about this whole little thing, Allie, is there was voters. And the voters gave their top – here, I'll read it real quick, the vote. But the process was voters gave us their 10 best players at a position. Then they compiled the results and ranked the candidates based on the number of top 10 votes, composite average, dozens of interviews, research, film study from Matt Bowen, and then in total more than 70 voters submitted a ballot. Okay? I'm going to read this to you. Jesse Bates, highest ranking, number two. Everybody else in front of him had the highest ranking of number one. Lowest ranking. Unranked. So I want to know who it is that thought that Jesse Bates wasn't one of the 10 best safeties in football. Because I would love to have a conversation. I would love to sit down and watch film with that person and say, show me 10 guys that do it better than Jesse Blank Bates. Like, that's unfathomable to me.
Yeah. And look, man, it is what it is. At the end of the day, when you look at these rankings and you talk about a guy like Jesse Bates, the bottom line is that there's going to be some people that look at these kind of rankings, guys, and they go through stats and they go, well, he's this in interceptions over the last three seasons, or he's this in interceptions since he's entered the NFL, or this in pass breakups. To me, though, the biggest thing, and I know that we come at this from a Falcons fandom standpoint, but what Jesse Bates does for the Atlanta Falcons defense is really immeasurable. I mean, he is the captain of that defense. He's the quarterback of that defense, and you don't always see that in a safety position, but he is the unquestioned leader of everything that they are doing. I know that, you know, we talk about the green sticker, the guy who's got the microphone in his helmet. We talk about guys like Caden Ellis who kind of understand what's going on in the front seven and line guys up and maybe a vocal leader, but you correct me if I'm wrong, Bo, because you're around the team a lot more than any of us are. Jesse Bates is that guy defensively. I mean, he is that guy that everybody's going to turn to and look at. So I don't know if that plays into my thoughts about this entire ranking piece. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But by any stretch of the imagination, when you talk about leadership, you talk about stats, you talk about output on the field, you talk about availability, he's everything to the Atlanta Falcons defensively, so that's, I think, where the frustration comes in for him being at four.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah, and that's it's some of what was said about him. One NFC scout said, I think he's coming to his own as a leader there, which has helped his confidence as a player. It's really I've been watching this quarterback show, and this isn't, I'm not turning this into Kirk Cousins thing, but just hear me out for a second. And I hear, I've every time they show video, Kirk Cousins is talking to a trainer. Or a, I say trainer, but it's really equipment guys is who he's talking to. You think it's a trainer, but they're equipment guys. Like Jimmy Hay has gotten more camera time, and you know Jimmy.
Attaboy, Jimmy.
And he's one of the greatest, he's one of the greatest people you'll ever be around. He's been an equipment guy with the Falcons forever. But he's talking to Jimmy Hay, and then our guy Joey, and like all the, like that's the only people I ever see him talking to on this show. And I've been around things and seen interaction. Every time I see Jesse Bates, he is talking with another defensive player, normally a secondary player. And normally, it's a conversation about football. I mean, I have gotten on buses multiple times after games, seen Jesse sitting, because sometimes we get, they send, we have six buses. Sometimes they send a couple of buses early. By the time Arch and I get done with our post-game stuff, we're like literally just on a player bus. And so you pick the last bus, and you just find a seat. Mike will tell you, when it's like that, the players want to sit by themselves, even if they won. So Arch and I sit there and double up, and I'm sitting there like scrunched up in the, by the window, and I look
over. Good job, by the way. And, Proud of you for that.
And that, well, Arch has basically led me to water on that early on in my career.
Like, there's nothing worse.
He'll be like, hey, nice word, very friendly word as my friend.
Yeah,
scoot over. And like early
on, D-bag, right here.
And so now I've learned. I'll be like, Arch, come on, let's go. Or he'll say, and so he led me to water on that. But I don't want to get off on the side tangent, which you already are. But I'll look over there, scrunched up, and there's Jesse with his Microsoft tablet or whatever thing. You know, gotta hit the sponsor, and he's sitting there going over film, like literally from the game. Literally already. We haven't even left the stadium, and dude is coaching other players in that secondary, and they're breaking stuff down talking about a miscommunication. That's who he is. That's why, I mean, that going on with the fact that what he created, 8 turnovers on his own last year, on his own, was responsible for 8 turnovers. But, yeah, he's only the, you know, some guys said he, Buda Baker. I'm not a big Buda Baker guy. And Buda Baker didn't have one guy that didn't think he was a top 10 safety yet. Jesse Bates had people that didn't think he was a top 10 safety. I just think that's erroneous.
Allie, I'm old enough to remember when, you know, they just had a printer and 3-ring binders on the sideline.
Nice.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And they'd hand that to Matt during the timeouts, and Matt would just flip pages of you know, just camera shots from the sky. And, you know, you got Jesse over here on the bus after the game watching the game film. It's insane.
And I know I'm biased.
Well, but it also makes sense, though. It's when it's freshest in your mind, but that shows his dedication to it. And we do have to put a pin in this conversation for right now. We'll dive into it a little bit more, continue this conversation about the top 10 safeties. That will be next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action. From the bleachers to the clubhouse, whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.